Hey guys, what's up? What is going on? How the fuck are you? Welcome back to another episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. I lied to you guys today and said it was going to be a solo episode, but a bitch is tired and I just couldn't do it. I had to have my partner in crime, Jay, come on and help me out with today's episode because I am drained. I have been super duper busy with readings. I have been booked beyond belief, as well as having opportunity after opportunity fall into my lap. It has been crazy. I am all over the place. I love it, but at the same time, I haven't had a chance to catch my breath. So let's give Jay a warm welcome on today's episode and thank him for helping a bitch out today.
Hey, everyone.
I told everybody I was going to do a solo episode, but I couldn't.
You've been swamped. You've been busy, and I can see it on your face.
I have been. I am doing my best to try to keep it together and not try to look too far into the future to see where all this is going to lead and just try to take it day by day because, you know, I want to jump ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have been busy and I love doing my solo episodes. You know that. For those of you out there thinking that you want to start a podcast and do the solo route thing, it is not as easy as it looks. It is hard as fuck to get on the mic and entertain yourself. You don't have anybody to banter back and forth with like I do with you right now. So it is fucking super duper hard to carry on a conversation and stay in that zone.
But you're so good at it though.
It's not easy.
It sounds amazing.
I hope so. There's a lot of hard work that's put into solo episodes, as well as all the editing, because I told you, I am a perfectionist when it comes to this show. I don't want to give mediocre shit. I have been thinking about putting a little bit more production into it and have music on at the beginning, but I don't want anything tacky or gay. You know what I'm saying? I did a podcast. That's who it was. Brett Allen. I did a podcast with Brett Allen last week, and I really, really loved his intro to his.
And
I want something, I want something similar like that. Allie Levine just started her own podcast, solo podcast, called Stripped with Allie Levine. And she is finding it hard as well to do solo episodes, but she's having guests come on. I'm going to be a guest on hers. She's going to come back and grace us with her presence for In Your Head. But doing solo episodes, it is fucking hard. I get in that zone. And I'll tell you another thing that keeps coming into play here, which has to do with my ability.
Oh, yeah.
Things are shifting. Things are evolving. I cannot wait to tell you guys all about that. So let's jump into the first topic of today. But before I do that, I do want to take this time to, I know I'm 2 weeks late, but I want to take this time to big up all you mothers out there and all you men that take the place of mothers at times and wish you a happy belated Mother's Day. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for setting the example. Happy Mother's Day to you. Our hats are off to you. Let's jump into today's episode. First topic I want to go into, which I mentioned on my IG story last week when I bailed on last week's episode, which is 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I mentioned that briefly on the first couple episodes of In Your Head, talking about Autopsy, HBO Autopsy, where me and Chris were watching it and talking about the kids that were dying, that woman that was killing her kids. And Chris, which is my son, looking at the pictures and getting that kind of eerie feeling about who they were. He's like, they look different. And I remember I told people this, that they just looked so alert for being babies. They were actually looking into the camera. Usually when babies are born, they have that fat, chubby face. Their eyes are so swollen from just being born. I mean, it's a lot of fucking trauma. But these kids were looking at the camera and they were smiling. It's like they knew they were having their pictures taken. So when Chris saw that, and I saw him being uncomfortable, you know that I used to kind of help him develop his ability or help him to be a little bit more perceptive when it comes to what he's feeling and talk it out rather than just kind of going through it and not really explaining things to him on how things work. Because I remember growing up that way and having my mom blame scary movies and my dad thinking I was a little bit weird or even scared of me at times. You heard the conversations in the car where he's like, I was afraid to talk to you at times because you would look at me like I was interrupting.
No, but you guys would have like full on conversations. Like you would ask him like how he would feel about certain situations.
So when we were watching HBO Autopsies and we were looking at those pictures, I had pulled Chris aside, like I had said before, and asked him, what looks so different about them? What are you talking about? And he said, they just look weird. And I said, because they're not supposed to be here. They knew they were here for a limited time. The soul came back for redemption or whatever it needed to do to evolve. Pretty much like how I thought I was born. Remember when I mentioned that I felt like I had a past life where I was pregnant as a woman?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm here and I felt that disconnect between my parents and me growing up. Like, I always felt like I was adopted. That's not a joke. I know a lot of kids say, I wish I was adopted and you weren't my parents. I just felt weird. Even like with my siblings. I just felt like the odd person out. Maybe because I felt so much or I was in my head a lot. But when we had our astrologer friend run those dates back and they found out that November 18th, 1975 was supposedly the last life year, that made a lot of sense as to my mother's pregnancy with me about her almost dying and me almost dying while she was pregnant because she got super duper sick.
Yeah.
And then that astrologer was like, that's probably when it was decided that you were a walk-in and you came back because you were ready to do it. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into having one foot in and one foot out. Going back to the HBO autopsies, a lot of times what people do, or when there's a disconnect, you see them on the street. You can't help but notice them. There's a huge disconnect with the eyes. There's something usually mentally off about them, or they have a hard time adjusting to society or with people. They have a hard time relating one-on-one with people. They're fine socially, because it doesn't take a lot of emotion to do it. But if you catch them one-on-one and you start reading them, there's a disconnect there. And I've been seeing that a lot with my readings over the last week. I had to call you in the room one day to document this and say, this is what we're going to talk about on the show, and use this person as an example because this person was having a difficult time adjusting. There was a lot of anxiety and depression and kind of, and I know this is going to sound weird, but remembering death. Remembering that piece and not being born and kind of floating. So they're always kind of looking for that piece there and not wanting to deal with people on an everyday basis. I hope that makes sense and doesn't come across as somebody that we see every day that just doesn't want to be here. You know what I'm saying? It's completely different than somebody that comes back with one foot in and one foot out, where the soul's mission is to evolve and to grow and to learn how to be a functioning human. They might have been like a murderer or had bad shit going on in their past, like maybe drug addiction, like our friend that passed away and that sort of thing. So they don't really know how to do one-on-ones, and they remember some of that stuff and the trauma from the past that they bring into this lifetime. So it makes them a little bit awkward. We have a really good friend of ours that is related to somebody that I read, which actually was the first time that I came in contact with one foot in and one foot out. But at that time, I called it the walking dead.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds harsh, but you can tell the difference between somebody that's just got a chip on their shoulder versus somebody that's just off or just not feeling it.
Is it
it's
like
not a mental health condition, if that's where you think I'm going. Mm-hmm. This has to do with the soul. There's a disconnect there. You look into the eyes and there's nobody home.
I was going to ask you, do they feel like they're like missing a light or like a fire in them?
They usually just say that they have a hard time, again, living life, functioning. Like they have issues with work, with people. They're very much daydreamy type people. They're not really present. They're not really here. Again, it's different than a mental health condition.
Mm-hmm.
You can spot the difference there. So going back real quick to the HBO autopsy special, where those kids were taking those pictures and you could tell that they were alert and there was something different about them. Looking at them, I tapped into it and I was like, they knew they weren't going to be here for long. There was something different about the way that they came in that they knew. And there was another, we'll get into this really fast too. There was, I was watching Forensic Files. Was it Forensic Files the other night?
I think so.
And I don't like using my psychic abilities when I do crime shows. I don't want to get involved in police work or anything hokey like that. Nothing against it for those that get involved in it, but that's just not my cup of tea. I don't want to be responsible for that shit. It's just too much energy and I'd get too attached to the people looking for the kid. So I was watching Forensic Files and I had asked, how did you die?
You asked this in your head.
I asked this in my head to the television, and the woman responded back and said, out on the highway. And I was like, okay. And so my guides were trying to show me how she passed away. Like reliving that moment, I tapped into her memory and tried to figure out and was almost getting glimpses of where she died and how it took place here. And I remember telling my guides, no, it's okay because they're going to show it right now on television. Mm-hmm. And within not even 20 seconds, it cut to how she passed away. The person ended up swerving onto the opposite side of traffic and it was a head-on collision and she died instantly.
That's crazy. Like, I remember you telling me this and I was like, what the heck? Like, you get this like in real time? Like, your guides told you this or she told you this? And you're like,
it was her voice. She said out on the highway and there was a little bit of a southern accent to her too.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, my guides were going to show me how the accident took place, but I was like, no, they're going to show us right now on television what had happened. They're going to reenact it. So I was having this conversation in my head, but still staying focused on the television.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So shit like that comes into play all the time. And again, I don't like to fuck with it and I don't like to take advantage of it by watching crime shows and shit like that. But sometimes I can't help it. I get so involved in it, especially if I'm stoned and unwinding.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, you watch these crime shows and these murder mysteries before you go to bed at night. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't fuck with your head and that doesn't fuck with like your sleep or anything like that.
No,
like, that blows my mind. Like, if I was to watch something like that every night before I go to bed, it would drive me insane. I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
No, I it doesn't bother me. I mean, well, look at my kids.
Yeah.
They both grew up watching Freddy Krueger and Chucky right before they went to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not afraid of it. I mean, maybe demonic type of shit. Like, I would never fall asleep to, like, the Amityville or, like, The Exorcist playing while I'm trying to fall asleep. That's a completely different ballgame.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So, real quick, going back to One Foot In and One Foot Out, you can tell these people here. So, going to the readings here where I had those four readings in a row, well, not in a row, but the same week where we were talking about having One Foot In and One Foot Out, they very much don't know how to function and they want to go back to where they're at. So I always tell them, go within, find out what it is that your soul's telling you here, because I'm telling you, the soul wants to evolve. Again, that's the first thing I look at, is the soul and what the mission is here in their lifetime, and it's to grow and to evolve. A lot of times people come back and they have codependency issues. Like, they were murdered in a past life. They let the relationship get the better of them. They were murdered or something happened. They committed suicide because that person left them, or they had abandonment issues. So they come back into this lifetime and they get involved in the same thing. They do not know how to function without having a partner in here. So I tell them, this is your karma. You got to learn what it's like to be alone, not for the rest of your life. That scares the shit out of people when you tell them you got to learn how to be alone, because they start to think, am I going to be alone for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
No, but you got to take the time to figure out who you are, what makes you tick, why you're so insecure, and why you have such abandonment issues. Or you come back and you have a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people end up using drugs when they're one foot in and one foot out, because it lowers their senses. It allows them to be distracted. Kind of like how I, when I smoke weed after mm-hmm. doing readings all day long, it distracts me so I can tune all that stuff out and I can get back to being me. I don't want to rely on weed all the time, but I'm very well aware of, again, I came back for redemption. Obviously, all of us are here for redemption, or to evolve our soul into some way, shape, or form, learn our life's mission, and move on and evolve as souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I very much know that I am back to do that here, and I'm on the path that I need to be on, but there are times where I'm like, I just want to give up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is fucking hard, because I remember, and I know it sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can consider me one foot in and one foot out. I remember what it's like to have that peace there. They've showed me that in the dreams. And I always go back to being a kid and remember having abandonment issues, because my mother was a single mother and things were tough for her. She had a lot of excess baggage. She had a hard life growing up as well, too. There was issues with her father, nothing disgusting or anything like that, but she lost him at a young age. And so she didn't really have that father figure or that man type of energy around her. So she distracted herself with relationships. So therefore, I was not able to see my mother as much as I wanted to, or have that type of relationship with her, because mm-hmm. she was off doing her own thing. She was a young mom. So that is the reason for my abandonment issues. But my guides, again, what sets me apart, or what I consider myself different here, is my guides showed me that. They talked to me, because I had asked myself, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel like I'm not loved? Why am I always being shipped off to my great-grandparents' house or my grandmother's house here? It's because my mom was trying to get her shit together. Had I not had that backing, or my guides come in and share the example, only because I was receptive and listening to it, I probably would be a different person. And you know that.
Yeah. Like you said before in the other shows, like, your guides were kind of like your parents at mm-hmm. the same time. They were looking after you. They were teaching you lessons. So you kind of learned through them.
So when the biggest lesson here, when it comes to having one foot in and one foot out, I know I'm not doing the topic justice here, because it's so in depth and it's a lot of explaining to you. I wish I can give people's names and give you examples here. But again, these people are having a difficult time coming back and adjusting to the new life that they have. A lot of times it's too fast paced for them. It is all over the place. There's a lot of interference when it comes to electricity. People are very sensitive to electricity and power lines and shit like that too. I remember reading one woman that could not be in a neighborhood for very long because she was so sensitive to the power lines and things like that, that this time and space was just way too fast for them.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that, if you're having a hard time relating to people, or you feel like you don't want to be here, not that you want to commit suicide, that's a totally different topic, but just kind of feeling like you want to go back. I always tell my guides when I'm feeling like shit, I know it's fucking dramatic, but there are times where I get in the car and I am fucking baked. I am done. There is nothing that, you know, I just am fucking tired and worn out. There, you know, I'm not connecting right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
there's issues, and I go in the car and I'm like, I just want to die. I just want to go back home. And I asked myself one time, where is home?
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking of just dark, just like a space, just like a quiet space where there's nobody else around.
Peace.
That's peace. There you go. Peace. So with me, again, I know it's dramatic saying I want to end my life and I don't want to be here anymore, but there's a lot of times where people feel that way and they're like, I just want to go back to that sense of peace, because part of the soul remembers what it's like drifting before they came back into this lifetime.
That's crazy.
So I always tell people, to take the fucking time to go within, figure out what your insecurities are, figure out what your lesson is here. And if you can't or you're having a difficult time, go to somebody that you trust. Mm-hmm. I am always straight up with people when it comes to this type of topic here. I always try to set them straight without going too overboard into the woo-woo step or getting too metaphysical or too spiritual on them, just fixing the lessons they have to learn here. I hope I did this topic justice. What do you think?
I think you did a great job.
This is kind of on the same topic of having one foot in and one foot out because you're working on your karma.
Mm-hmm.
What was that story that you were telling me about those two celebrities where she, wasn't she like a singer or something? And her husband was like a football player and he's like a sex addict or some shit.
Yeah.
What's up with that? What happened?
Her husband is a professional athlete and he has a kid with this woman. And he was cheating on her a couple of times and she would take him back and she would just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay in this relationship because we have a kid together. We want to make it work.
I'm all about supporting your partner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about helping them through things that they need to overcome in this lifetime. The one thing I am not for is excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is an excuse. I feel like it is no different than obviously cheating on your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And condoning their type of behavior and settling for it because, one, you probably have a lot of people invested in your relationship, or you don't want to say that you gave up or have to face the harsh reality that you put into place for yourself.
Mm-hmm. But it already looks bad because your husband's already cheating on you.
Exactly.
You know?
And so many times, again, here working through karma here, a lot of times women feel obligated to stick with them because they don't want to start over again. They don't know if they have it in them to find another partner, or if they will ever find another partner, a life partner at that, to live with for the rest of their life. So they settle for stupid shit like this, and they make excuses for their spouse's behavior. It could be the same thing, a woman cheating on her husband and being a sex addict that same way too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to specifically attack men, but a good majority of the time, it is men that we see on the news, or we hear on, you know,
like Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods and all that shit here too. That's fine if you catch it early. Again, I don't want to condone anybody's behavior here, but that is something that he needs to work through. We see this so many times. We know a couple of people in our own personal lives that have struggled with this as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's having to make sure it's distracting you from living your life because you're so worried about this person cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly couldn't live with it.
I couldn't either.
I there's no fucking way. We had this conversation with somebody else recently too about being gay. And they were like, would you ever invite another person into the bedroom with you?
Mm-hmm.
Or have like a threesome or, you know, just like, you know, swinging.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever. I don't find that cool. I don't find that sexy. I don't find it thrilling or fucking anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm fucking you and I'm with you, you are with me. We stay together.
Mm-hmm.
There is no venturing off doing shit like that. But if you have it in you to take them back and to really, really try to get them on the road of recovery,
mm-hmm.
you've got a long fucking road ahead of you because it will never be the same. This is something that's embedded into their soul.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people can change, obviously, but how much can they really change if it's embedded in their core? I don't want to speak out of turn here or out of pocket when it comes to it here, but that's just not something I would deal with here. And I feel like it's a lot more, and I feel like he relies on that as an excuse to do what he's doing here because he knows that dumb fuck is going to keep taking him back all the time. And she is a dumb fuck. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit if he's your fucking husband and you married him by the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
He cheated on you.
That trust is gone.
That trust is completely fucking gone. What's going to end up happening with her is resentment's going to start to set in because it's going to make an ass out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Once a cheater, like that kid told me, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Mm-hmm. But you have it in you to change, though. I mean, it changed you.
You have to really want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fucking easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you before, like this is the thing that I always preach about changing your way of thinking. Look how long it took me to change.
Yeah.
Realize who I was when we first met.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not when we first met, but when we first started hanging out, which was back in 2007,
mm-hmm.
to who I am today. I have evolved. I have taken the time, and I'm not bigging myself up or saying that I'm better than other people, but when all else fails, what do? I always go within.
Mm-hmm.
That is my go-to. And a lot of times you give me shit. You're like, oh, you're in a bad mood. I said, no, I'm working through things and I need to be left alone.
Uh-huh.
But I really work through them. I really let that emotion out. I really take the time to figure things out or I'll go for a long ass ride.
You rip up that shirt.
I rip up that shirt. I scream into that fucking pillow. I try not to beat the fuck out. I'm just kidding. But I work through it. It is a fucking process. That's why I tell you all the time, like with you,
mm-hmm.
you are so fucking stressed out. Everybody knows it. I know that you want things done in a timely manner, and I know that you want things to come fast, that we put a lot of time and effort into what we're doing,
uh-huh.
and it's starting to pay off now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of stress there, and I keep telling you, it's out of your fucking control.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke more weed, do more laughing. What do I do for downtime?
You watch like the craziest YouTube videos and you like laugh at yourself. Like,
tell everybody what I watch.
You watch these stupid prank shows on YouTube and I can hear you laughing through the walls in the middle of the night by yourself. And like, I think to myself, what the fuck are you laughing? Like some lunatic.
I honestly feel like laughter is soup for the soul, chicken soup for the soul.
Yeah.
There's not a day, and let's think about it, that I don't fucking bust up laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with you or fucking with your sister, like, and getting a reaction, or your mom, just fucking with them and stuff. Like, I feel like laughter is such a key part of your life, mm-hmm. that without it, you kind of, like, end up like you.
Oh. That's terrible.
I always tell you to do more laugh. That's why I say when we get stoned, let's be silly. Let's do something fun or something crazy or whatever, because we both trust each other.
I laugh in my head.
No, I want you to start working on yourself and going within and removing all that built-up gunk that you have on you when it comes to your stress. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I always preach this. If it's out of your control, leave it the fuck alone. There's nothing you can do about it, which goes back into relationships here. If that person is going to leave you, mm-hmm. they are going to leave you. There is nothing you can do. Believe me, take it from a dumb fuck like me that's been in and out of relationships, that was even going so far as to do spells on men to keep them with me.
Wow.
It only works for so long, and then here comes karma, sets them free.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, with this woman, I don't mean to keep jumping around. I'm just so excited to be back on and have someone to banter back and forth with here.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the celebrity and her husband here, she is settling. She is settling, yeah. and hoping that he's going to change. She has no desire to change. He may bust out for a couple of months and be cool with it, or maybe a couple of years, but he will always go back to what he knows.
Mm-hmm. So you don't see a positive outcome?
I don't see that with him. I don't think he has it in him. I don't think he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times, just like this James Charles kid.
I was going to say.
We'll get into him in a second. But mm-hmm. when you have fame, and again, this guy's a very good looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He can have any woman that he wants, pretty much, or man at that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go and get it.
Really?
Well, let's be honest.
Well, like, I see what you're saying.
So it's available to him,
mm-hmm.
and he's got friends that are talking about it,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So going back to her, by staying with him, and yes, you're helping him out. Yes, you are. Being the support system and the shoulder to cry on.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also distracting yourself from your life,
mm-hmm.
and learning the lesson that you need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so caught up and consumed with what they're doing that it's taking away from you. And you're also hindering him from learning his lesson by sticking around and you're telling him, it's okay, do what you want here, I forgive you. And if you slip, I'll forgive you again. And if you slip again, I'll forgive you. And if you do it one more time, I'll forgive you again.
It's so hard, like living with knowing, hey, you might slip one fucking day.
Exactly.
Like,
but again, it's different when the person actually wants to make a change and make a difference with their life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really want it. That's why I'm telling you, again, you give me a lot of shit for being in a bad mood or having to work through my emotions. I need to in order to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hold on to it because I will be in a bad fucking mood. I'll fuck something up. You know my temper.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I have to go through the motions, and I really take the time to ask myself, what's wrong with you? Why are you having such an issue with your appearance? What about relationships? Why are you feeling this way here? Because again, I do suffer from abandonment issues. I do, just like everybody else, have issues that I struggle with on a daily basis here, but I'm working through those, and I know that it's an irrational fear of mine. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's all my imagination. I feel like I need to when I really don't. So I guess my last few words for this lady that we're talking about, I forgot her name. I don't even know mm-hmm. what her name is. But I would tell her, honey, you need to look within. You really need to figure out what's going on with you that's allowing this to happen here. What is it about you that's allowing you to stay in this relationship? What fear are you holding on to that you're allowing this to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of times, again, here goes just one last thing and I'm done. When it comes to my readings, a lot of times people come to me for relationship advice. And I used to be scared shitless to tell them this isn't going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I preface it. You do whatever it is that you want to do with this relationship here. I just don't think that this person has it in them to evolve fully in this lifetime. And I feel like they're not the person for you. They're not going to give you what you're looking for here.
Mm-hmm.
You need to figure out what works for you and what it is that you want and go after it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're holding yourself back. And by staying in this relationship and letting him know that it's okay, you're holding him back from his karma and learning lessons that he needs to learn. No other woman is probably going to put up with the shit that she puts up with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe because he's rich.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you're saying, like...
But even then, where's your fucking dignity? I'm sorry, I don't want to be harsh or whatever, but where's your fucking dignity to feel so low that you have to chain yourself to a man that's constantly cheating on you, or a woman that's cheating on you, or belittles you, or takes away from you?
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about you?
Yeah.
At that point, you're not a victim. At that point, you're just stupid. I don't mean to be harsh, but it's true. wake the fuck up. Take control of your life. Do what you need to do to ensure your fucking future and to be on the path that you are meant to be on. Stop chaining yourself to unworthy men, unworthy relationships, unworthy women, just unworthy people in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look within and find out what is it about that person that you just can't look away from. There's something about them that mirror reflects you.
Wow.
Figure that shit out. Because again, at the end of the day, you deserve better. All you're looking for is security, comfort, a relationship, someone to come home to. You can have all those things. Have the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time to go on dates. Figure out who these people are. And again, a lot of times people end up getting in the same relationship over and over again because they're attracted to one particular characteristic in a person. Mm-hmm. Like with me, it's always a little bit of shadiness. I love a man that's a little shady. I'm not talking about beat the fuck out of me shady, but he has to have a little bit of a dark side because I am so dark myself. Mm-hmm. You know, my sense of humor is fucking dark.
Yeah.
So that's a characteristic that I go after. And sometimes it can be a little too much where the person's just a little too crazy for me. We're into a little bit too much of weird shit than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to reel myself back in and I always move on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to figure out, well, maybe I can change this person because my gut, my intuition, again, it's completely different for me because I am a psychic to say that, you know, I trust my intuition more. But I do. I really figure out the time. And I ask these women too. Side note, you had to have felt something when you first met them. You had to know that, well, yeah, I did. I was hoping. Your intuition tried to warn you, but you had to go through this lesson. You learn what you need to learn. If you do it again, you're an ass.
Yeah.
Simple. Wake the fuck up. It's not hard. Stop chaining yourself to people like that and thinking you're never going to have a relationship. Start manifesting the relationship that you want. Mm-hmm. I told you last time, again, fuck, I am all over the place. I told you that last time that I was meditating a couple nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I was stoned. I wanted to get super stoned because I'm not getting stoned anymore. That's the problem with me smoking weed and being a psychic is that I just don't stay stoned. We were over at Allie's house and I was smoking weed and she was like, you're not stoned. I kept having to go to the car and smoke. And I was like, I'm not staying stoned.
Why do you think that is?
Because my, let's just jump into it now, okay. Right? My abilities are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
They are changing. New topic, guys. Well, I promise to circle back really fast to the other one, but things are changing so much when it comes to my ability that I don't feel in control sometimes. That's why I'm not going to lie. Yes, opportunities came into play for me having to cancel on the last three podcasts, but also too, I'm just not wanting to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of my readings, it is fucking hard. All I want to do is go within and think. I've been doing a lot more writing and a lot more expressing myself on IG and through my, you know, my own personal stuff here. Mm-hmm. But that's all that I find myself wanting to do. And I thought it was Taurus season. I was like making excuses for it. I was like, maybe it's because it's Taurus season. It's all about, you know, self-love and reflection and being a part of the home and cooking. I did a lot of cooking during Taurus season and trying to distract myself from having those types of feelings. But I'm finding that my ability is shifting. I'll give you a good example. You were there.
Mm-hmm.
We were driving home from the gym. I got stoned because I needed to. I know I've been getting stoned a lot lately, but I fucking love it. And I said, I need to call Allie. And you're all stoned? And I was like, yeah. And we were driving down Owens Mouth in Woodland Hills right there. And I remember this vividly. And I called her and I was like, hey, love, how's it going or whatever? And all of a sudden, I started reading her and giving her a mini reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what the fuck I was saying. I remember, and I know this is going to probably sound a little bit weird, and this is not made up, and this is not woo-woo, but I remember being able to look at myself as I was driving. I know that you were sitting in the passenger seat, but when I looked at myself, I was like, I was sitting in the passenger seat, seeing myself drive, giving Allie the reading, and listening to what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking about roses and something pink, and also about her grandma.
I think so, yeah.
I don't remember all that I said.
It was a message for her, though.
Yeah, and all these different things, like colors and what was coming up for her and things like that. Again, I don't remember too much of it. I had to ask Allie what I said. And after I was done giving the reading, I said, I need to call her back and apologize because I don't know what the fuck happened. And you're mm-hmm. like, what do you mean? I was like, it's just like what I told you a couple days ago where I was doing the reading in the room and I could feel myself looking at myself, giving that reading and hearing what I was saying, but I was thinking about other shit. I was thinking about the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that meeting that we had to do
mm-hmm.
and this podcast that's coming up that I'm going to be on and all these other things. And I was like, oh my God, I'm still doing this reading. What the fuck am I doing? And it just flowed.
It was like an out-of-body experience that you were able to look, like you said, look at yourself and think of something else at the same time.
It fucking tripped me out. So I called Allie. You were there. And I was like, love, I am so sorry if I sounded fucking crazy. I normally don't call people up and offer readings. I hate that. I hate when there's nothing against it, but to me, it's tacky. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody. For those of you that do that, I don't want to offend you. But to me, I just couldn't do it. I could not walk up to somebody and say, oh, I have this hit off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm getting this. I'm a psychic and I've got this information for you. I just don't fucking do it. Even if the medium side comes through,
mm-hmm.
you have to ask me and I'll do it. So with Allie, I was kind of like, fuck, I hope I didn't scare her or come across crazy. And she was kind of crying a little bit or a little emotional about it. And she said it made perfect sense. She had told MJ, which is her mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
Justin's mom, about the reading and how it sounded so different. And she said that it sounded like Chris. It was definitely his voice, but it was a different type of energy. And it was so, she used the word fluid.
Yeah.
So fluid. And she said it made perfect sense to her.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like something else was inside you conveying this message to her?
I felt like astral projection, like the time that I did that with you when you were at that party.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I felt like, but I saw myself driving. And I, you know what I keep thinking too, is that, fuck, I'm lucky I didn't get in a car accident. But I'm looking, while I was looking at, I know it sounds so fucking weird. You guys, please don't think I'm fucking crazy. I know you guys hate when I say that, but this is so weird to fucking talk about because, again, it makes me feel like I'm going crazy or I'm one of those psychics that think that they're all big and bad and shit, but it's like astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the road while I was driving,
mm-hmm.
obviously paying attention to it, giving the reading, hearing what I'm saying, and looking at myself, but knowing that you're still in the car.
That's crazy.
And then with the readings, the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Michelle Prentice about this, and we were going over my chart, because you guys know that I can't read myself, and there's very few psychics that I reach out to, if any.
Mm-hmm.
I usually go, my go-to is astrology,
yeah.
And Michelle Prentice has been my go-to lately, and she was talking about all this different energy that's taking place, and I had asked her, I was like, with all these aspects going up, because there's a couple things that don't happen to people in their lifetimes that are happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this a lot of energy for one person? And she was like, fuck yeah. She's like, you are going through some shit right now. And I was like, I just don't feel the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds shitty, but the connections that I had with people aren't there anymore. And here's another thing. I have a hard time when it comes to relationships, like lovers
mm-hmm.
and friendships, because what ends up happening is I end up seeing through that person all the way too far ahead. And I don't like the outcome, and they end up, I know it sounds shitty, but they end up disappointing me.
Like you see the future of your relationship with them?
And I just look at them, and I'm like, there's a couple of times where I throw shit at you, and I was like, I told you I didn't want to get mixed up with that person, but you told me to fucking talk to this person, and I said how they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give these people the benefit of the doubt because I genuinely like them,
mm-hmm.
but they're never going to fucking change. Some of the shit that they do just goes to show that they're not evolved. And everything that they're talking about is just for show. It's just a gimmick. It's just for aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't live that fucking life. And it's fucking disappointing. So I've been, again, I can't, back in the day, I would retreat, go back into my shell, and not talk to anybody. When I met you, that's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't partying. I was very much at home all the time. I didn't go anywhere. You know that I didn't have Yes. The only times that I went out was with family members.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you would run into me is because you were friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at that point where I was like, I'm just not connecting with people. I had stopped smoking weed. I was getting more metaphysical, more spiritual, more things coming into play. That's where I feel like I'm at right now. I just don't feel connected to people or the people that are in my life as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing against them. It's just they need time to figure out what they need to do with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't provide readings to them on a daily basis or, you know, when I go and see them and them not do anything about it. I know it is out of my control. And that's exactly what I'm doing is I'm leaving it in their control and I'm removing myself from the situation. I'm not saying I don't want to be friends with them anymore, but I'm not going to condone that type of fucking behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking disappointing. When you know better and you're practicing all this shit, you're saying all this stuff, you're preaching all this stuff, not practicing it. You're preaching all this shit and coming across a certain way, but that's not really who you are to your core. What I do is not a fucking joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am a normal person at the end of the day with major fucking issues and major baggage,
mm-hmm.
but I don't bring that into my readings, and I'm well aware of it, and I'm working through it, and for the most part, I've got a good fucking handle on it.
Yeah.
I just wish people would take more time and invest it in themselves and go within and clear up all that bullshit. They're not wanting to put the work in. They want an easy way out. They feel like, oh, being friends with a psychic, he'll tell me what's going on here. There's very few people that follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa Mendez is one of those people that follows through all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking girl has the most amazing luck. And she is so dedicated and so ambitious to changing her path and coming into who she is that she does whatever she can possibly do. And I'm not saying that's all, you know, peaches and cream and she doesn't have bad days, because there are times where she reaches out to me and we talk things out. But she takes the time before asking me to go within. Mm-hmm. Another person who I've gotten super close to her, Allie Levine.
I was going to say, Allie is one of those people as well.
There is nothing that I would not do for her. I really feel, and I get a lot of, and I just told you this too, I get a lot of past life energy with Allie.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Allie this when we were at her house the other day, and I'm getting goosebumps now because I keep thinking about her face. I was like, I bet you we knew each other in a past life because we connected instantly. We're always at her house.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, we're related to her,
mm-hmm.
or I'm related to her. I love everything about her. I love the way she comes across. I love her attitude. I just love who she is behind the celebrity shit,
mm-hmm.
like the real Allie.
Yeah.
And she puts the time and work into it. She really does. Her intuition has been spot on. And look at all the opportunities that are coming into play for her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I want to only fuck with people that really want to do stuff, because I know some are a lot more slow to warm, but you have to be willing to work for it. And I will have the patience for you and kind of guide you along. But when the going gets tough, I don't want you curling up in a ball and saying, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Going back to what I was saying earlier, when it comes to my ability and things like that, I really am seeing through people, and it's hard sometimes, and I don't want to bring this into a relationship here. I'm going to take the relationship for what it is and learn lessons that I need to know and write it out for as long as I can here, but nothing is forever.
You're not going to force it to happen. Like,
I'm not in that place anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking, and here's another thing too. I don't want to make it all about me, but I've been noticing a lot of different shit going on when it comes to other psychics, other mediums, and doing the most outrageous things to get attention. Like who I am and the way that I talk, you had a problem with it at the very beginning when we were doing the show. You were like, I don't want you to go too overboard because mm-hmm. you didn't want me to be looked at as being too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But I cuss. There's not a sentence that I speak that doesn't have a fucking cuss word in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is no joke. Like, my advice, my directness, and my boldness is real. That's who I am. It's not a persona. It's not a character. And I'm seeing a lot of people getting into this character here where they're talking a bunch of shit, but you get them one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
and you have a conversation with them, and they're this love and light shit. Self-care, metaphysics, spirituality, therapy, mental health, evolution, transformation, your soul is not something that you take lightly or that you play with. You can't put a hat on and be like Lucy off of Snoopy and say 5-cent psychiatric help. You can't fucking do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is made for this. And what you're doing is you're deluding people into believing your bullshit. And I try to give Tony Robbins the benefit of the doubt because people love him so much. And that dumb fuck got busted for some other bullshit too, didn't he?
Again, yeah.
For what? Like, being too harsh?
Sexual allegations coming out from like him.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
What's up with the sexual allegations coming out lately?
Because people are fucking pigs. People don't know how to take no for an answer.
Like that one makeup
especially
guy? What's his name?
James Charles?
I think so.
Oh, that little twink?
Oh.
That fucking idiot. Here's a good example of why not everybody is made for being a celebrity.
Mm.
It gets to your fucking head. Nope, you think you're bigger than what you are. And this kid is proof of it. He got into it with his mentor. He did something shady. I don't want to hear about these fucking receipts and like, oh, he really didn't do this, whatever. That little bitch knew what he was doing. He's a little shit starter. And to take advantage of men, I know that I talk shit and say that I'm always the first one to turn out a straight guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not forcing myself on them and telling them, you're gay, come to me. You just don't know it yet. I always and never, I will be flirtatious, you know that,
mm-hmm.
but I will never actively pursue a straight man. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know if they're going to beat the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if they're going to fucking, if they've been molested or had issues in the past with men,
yeah.
that they fucking spaz out on you.
End up really bad.
Yeah, you end up in the back of a fucking trunk being buried out in the fucking desert somewhere, not fucking me.
Uh-huh.
And so this kid was forcing himself on straight men and trying to out them and also threatening them that he would tell the public that they were gay if he didn't get to fuck them.
Really?
Yeah. That shit gets to your fucking head because everybody, because you are a celebrity, you're a YouTube sensation, all these millennials are gravitating towards you because of who you are. That's very much the space that we're living in now where everybody thinks that they could be famous because of YouTube and social media and all that shit, but mm-hmm. not everybody is cut out for it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people get themselves backed into a situation they can't get themselves out of. And I know it sounds fucking harsh, but I've been through some major bullshit in my life here, and I've been completely jaded, and I know what to look for when it comes to that shit, and I have no problem saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. And I have no problem fucking spazzing out.
Yeah.
If I'm put up against a corner or my back's against the wall and there's no way out, I will grab the closest thing to me and start fucking people up with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And this kid is just, he's out there and nobody's telling him no. He's taking advantage of shit. And then just as quick as he came on is as fast as he's going to go away. But I also blame this other Tati Westbrook chick, the makeup artist, the mentor, mm-hmm. because this bitch is in her, what, late 30s or mid 30s?
I know
she should
older
fucking know better.
Yeah.
She should know better. She went out there and publicly humiliated him. I would have got that bitch aside, that James Charles kid, and told him, you better fucking straighten up and get your shit together. Respect who the fuck I am at the end of the day. Or else I'm going to do this. I'll give you the, I know it sounds shitty, but I'll give you the opportunity to correct your shitty behavior and to do right.
Instead of airing your fucking laundry out to
You've
everyone.
You've got 2 days to get your fucking shit together and then I'm fucking blasting.
Yeah.
That would have been the way because she's way too old for that shit. This kid's 19. He's not even old enough to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's still got fucking milk on his tongue. She fucking knew better. But again, I blame him for thinking that he's invincible.
But he's 19? He's a young kid, though. Don't you think that his age has to do something with it?
I also blame his fucking parents, too.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. For not teaching him morals. And the parents can come out and say, you don't know what I was doing. Well, bitch, look at your kid.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even know who the fuck he is at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not making fun of him for being, you know, gay and wearing makeup and shit.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't know whether or not he's a normal person or he thinks he's God. My guys are like, that. You'll see how this comes into play here. Stay true to who you are and what you do. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that or whatever. I'm going to really stay focused on it. But again, I have been blessed with all the opportunities that I have coming towards me here. I'm going to get into that right now. So two major things are taking place here. One of them is out of this fucking world. I've been dying to do this one for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's finally come into fruition. And I don't want to say anything about it yet because we had to postpone it one time already. This is not the meeting that I postponed last time. Mm-hmm. This is a totally different thing. So we had to postpone it because this person had something come up. There was a schedule conflict. Always happens in the industry. But I'm dying to do this one here because I think it's going to be the best of both worlds. This person is totally outspoken, does not give a fuck about what comes out of their mouth. And I'm very much on the same page with that. And then we have this huge fucking event that we're doing in September, and then possibly touring in July.
Yeah.
I am so fucking ready for it. I am seeing my future. I know it's bright. I know there's things that are coming into play. I want to see more, and I'm being told, relax. We're giving you a taste of it, and I have to practice what I preach because I know something good's coming. I don't want to spin my wheels out and have to worry about, you know, or try to go there and figure everything out. I'm liking the energy here. I feel good about it. I'm not resorting back to old ways here. Again, things are coming into play. You're seeing it.
Yeah, we put a lot of work into it.
And it's finally starting to fucking pay off.
Yeah.
It is finally starting. I definitely want to go, again, bigger and better, reach more people all at one time here. And this opportunity, we just got back 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, from Vegas with Michelle Prentice and Sarah Fruman, and all that work that's coming into play. I got to give my hat off to that bitch, Sarah.
Yeah.
I mean, she is fucking on top of stuff. I mean, she's got, I didn't mean to call her a bitch. You know, I love you, girl. And so Scorpio eyes of yours, the moon and Scorpio eyes of yours that are so intense, but you are fucking killing it. And I'm so excited to see what she does with everything. I love working with her.
They're both amazing people.
I wish astrology came out more and I wish more people would fuck with it because it is real. There is shit that you can hold in your hand. It's not, I'm not saying psychic readings aren't real, but you're having to take the word of that person giving you the reading and going home and kind of not hoping that it comes into fruition, but kind of wait.
Mm-hmm.
And with the astrological reading, you can take a printout home and they can map out dates for you and tell you when's the best time to work around this type of energy or X, Y, and Z, very much like I do with Michelle now. Mm-hmm. Tell me all the bad shit that's coming in so I can work with it here because this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And we did talk about the channeling energy, and that's exactly what I've been feeling lately with my abilities. It's channeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm there, but I'm not there. And I had told my guides, I hope I'm not coming across crazy in these readings. And they're like, no, when I had the hard time doing the episodes before where we didn't get to record a solo episode, that's very much what was going on. And they said, let go. And the only reason why we released that last solo episode right before, was Salvador the last one?
Yeah.
Right before Salvador's episode is because I let go.
You don't even remember what you said. Yeah.
No, I don't. That's why we have to listen to it when we're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got back and I was listening to it. I was like, oh my God, I don't remember saying this shit. And I remember my guides telling me, let go. And I remember just kind of like thinking about other things, thinking about work, and then still talking to the mic and telling my story or going into whatever the topic was of that day and staying on point, not falling off of it. So I got to learn how to let go of that and trust it, but I'm also afraid of it. And here's another thing. God, I got so much shit. One other thing, I talked about possession.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about attachments. We just got off the phone with somebody that I'm really, really close to. And I told you I did not like the sound of her voice.
Okay.
Remember?
I had to think about it, yeah.
And I said, there's something wrong with her. I said, that's not her laugh. And you were like, what do you mean? I said, she doesn't laugh like that. It was very much a ha. And she laughs very robustly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got a big laugh. And this was kind of like a ha. And I was like, there's something off with it or whatever. And she's going through something. She's been going through something for some time now. At the beginning of the year, there was an issue with her that I had to help her out with,
mm-hmm.
which she got back on track. Thank God she didn't fall back into those old patterns. But there's something off with her. And I feel like there's an attachment working on her mental right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with her, because she is super sensitive and she's super empathic, that it takes a toll on her. And she does not have the outlet that she needs like I do. She doesn't have it in her to get in the car and go for a long ass ride and really go within and check out what's going on. She succumbs to the fucking energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not be surprised, and I'm being dead serious here, if I had to go over there and help her work through this, because I don't like that fucking energy. And somebody like her, I'm being dead serious again too, has the potential to be possessed because it takes over.
Really?
Yes. I'm telling you right now. When I tell you I don't like that energy, or I don't like, this is not who this person is,
mm-hmm.
trust me on that. Because I know this person like the back of my fucking hand. I see right through them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it another couple weeks to see where it's going here. Hopefully she works out of it and she's not self-sabotaging anymore. Mm-hmm. But if I still feel that type of energy, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to do some sort of cleansing and tell her to snap the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do have that type of relationship with her where I can go over there and probably slap the shit out of her and say, get out of fucking bed and start getting your shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you succumb to that energy and you stay there. And it is fucking, once all the dirt's piled up on top of you, it is hard to get you out of that fucking box.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And I know her. I know her, and I know that she has potential to fucking do that. And I'm not, again, gassing myself up or trying to be dramatic about it. She has very much, the reason why I say possession is because she has very much a religious background, and her husband's religious.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been talks about, because she's succumbed to the energy and feeling that type of way, that God doesn't really exist, or the higher power doesn't exist. What a waste of energy to come back to Earth to have to go through all this shit here. And I know she's smarter than that. And I'm telling her, you got to go through the lesson. You got to realize your self-worth. I don't feel like you know who you are anymore. Like, you've lost your identity over the last 20 years. She's changed. I know there's a difference there.
You grew up with her. Do you think that she's going to be able to snap herself out of it?
Yeah, she has it in her to snap. She gets like this. I remember growing up and seeing her go through this and take on almost a different personality. Not that she's got a split personality, but she goes through these things, and because she's so much an introvert,
mm-hmm.
she keeps to herself a lot. She doesn't have a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the only one that she's really close to. I know that when her husband hears her laughing or her kids hear her laughing, they're like, "Oh, you're on the phone with Chris."
Yeah,
like they know who she's talking to. So, you know, to go over there and to snap her out of it, I think she has it in her to do it, but it's not going to be easy.
That's tough.
It is, because she feels it, and again, you're. Somebody that's empathic and that's sensitive like that can see through the people that they're living with here and pick up on their energy. So if the person is like her husband, I mean, I don't want to out anybody, but the husband not really paying attention to what's going on with her or not believing in anything spiritual other than what you read in the Bible, there's no support there.
Mm-hmm.
And you always feel like the odd man out. So I don't want her succumbing to that energy and digging herself deeper into a hole that she can't get herself out of.
Like feeling alone?
Yeah, feeling alone and all that stuff. So I'm going to probably go out there next week and probably take her out for a couple hours and just to get in her head.
Whatever you need to do, you know?
Yeah. I just, again, it's so hard to tell somebody to snap the fuck out of it, especially when they're feeling some type of way, but that's exactly what you need to do. You can't succumb to the energy. You have to fight for your life. You have to fight for your path and you and what it is that you want out of life, and make sure that you are secure in living the life that you want to live, and realize that it's going to be difficult. There are going to be times where you want to give up and not move here, but when you have those times, again, I've mentioned this over and over again, there's nothing wrong with sitting on your pity pot for a couple of days and mourning that type of fucking feeling. It's dwelling on that pity pot and sitting on there for too long that I have a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is very much self-control. When all else fails, self-control. You have everything in you that you need to get yourself out of that fucking mess. Broken relationship, get the fuck out of it. Why are you in it for? Again, goes back to your self-worth. You can't be in a relationship and give yourself to them or be an equal part if you don't realize your worth.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with friendships too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, like, there was, I don't want to call people out, but people, when they don't get their way, there's been times where I've given readings to people and I told them, here's what I see coming into play. You have these two opportunities or these issues that are going to come in here. This is what's going to come into play. A lot of times it doesn't come in exactly the way that I say it's going to come in because you're still doing what you feel like you need to do and you're not letting go of things on your end here. So you're holding yourself back. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not realizing the opportunity when it presents itself to you because you're so distracted by your one way of thinking that you don't see that opportunity. So somebody had came to me and was like, you know, this didn't happen. You said this was going to happen. Did you ever stop to think that the universe took that away from you because it is beneath you?
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by beneath you is that you're not above it. Like, oh, that's just, you know, beneath me. I'm so far ahead of it. It's not who you are anymore. It would be going a step back
mm-hmm.
instead of going forward. And you're staying comfortable in a zone that you're used to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you should try to go above and beyond and go in a different route or attract something that's where you're at now, that's mm-hmm. going bigger and better. You always want to go forward. You don't want to stay in the same place, stay stagnant, or go back to repeating old patterns here. So I told this person, it's going to be interesting to see what the universe puts in the place of what you didn't get here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like this person was beneath the opportunity. Or the opportunity was beneath the person. Mm-hmm. I feel like this would be going back in some way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people get hard on themselves. They're like, I didn't get what I wanted here.
You tweeted or Instagrammed something about that. Like, it's not meant to happen at that point. Or that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. And again, it'd be interesting to see what the universe brings in its place.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give up the minute that the devil comes in and is like, okay, we're going to test you to see where you're at. This goes along with having to deliver bad news during a reading. This definitely goes along with it because a lot of times people have this idea in their head of where they want to go, and that's only because they've been talked into it or they have some sort of obligation with family or friends or feel like they need to compare themselves to where other people are in their lives and they're going on a path that's not really suited for them.
Mm-hmm.
So having to deliver that news after you're going to school for years of learning something and telling them this is not the path that you're going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Is always a fucking difficult topic to discuss with somebody because they're not ready to hear it. And how do you do that without taking someone's hope away from them?
Uh-huh.
So I really ask them, I know it sounds like a lot of work here, but I tell them, is this what your heart is set on? Is this what you see yourself doing? No, it's the most practical thing for me to be doing, mm-hmm. but it's not what you want to be doing. And these are people that are young, that are like in their 20s, late or mid-20s, late 20s or whatever, that you know their fucking mind is going to change. Why not align yourself with something that is meant for you and that you truly want to be doing rather than just going along with something just for the sake of going along with it?
Mm-hmm.
Like relationships too. It's not going to work out with this person. So I'm going to have to start all over again. Yes, but utilize this energy. We know somebody very close to us that's going through some bullshit too. And it's like, I don't know what's going to happen in this relationship. While you're trying to figure out what's going on, while you guys are trying to work through that problem, why don't you take this time to go within and figure out why you're so insecure about the breakup or possible breakup of this relationship or why you're feeling this type of way in a relationship or even a job?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with taking downtime? Nobody wants to do that anymore. So whenever I have to deliver a message like that and tell them if the relationship isn't going to work out, I always say, again, do what you want to do. I just don't see this working here. I feel like there's going to be some sort of resentment on your end because he's not going to catch up to you in time. He's going to be dragging his fucking feet and you're looking for something that's more stable.
Mm-hmm.
And you're holding yourself fucking back. And you're also, again, holding him back from his karma to learn his lessons. Because let this motherfucker get into another relationship with another woman and that woman is not going to put up with his fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it because you have history with this person. And this person needs to be woken the fuck up. So let's see. God, this is more or less just us bantering back and forth on today's episode. Nothing too heavy duty. And if you guys have questions about the 1 foot in and 1 foot out, because again, I feel like I didn't explain that to its entirety or all the way or made it sound as good as I needed to make it sound. But let me know, hit me up, email me, let me know your thoughts on that. Hit me up on social media. A lot of you guys have been reaching out on social media. I love it, the DMs and stuff. But the better way to reach me is via email or through the website, especially if you're wanting to sign up for a reading. But if you have issues with the show or you want to add topics or you want to have me discuss things further, email me, askinyourhead@gmail.com. I want to hear your thoughts on that and figure out what you think 1 foot in and 1 foot out is, and if you know people like that. So for those of you that are interested in having a reading, whether it's a half an hour session session or an hour-long session, hit me up. Go to chrismedina.guide, sign up for a session there. I will get the email showing that you signed up for it. We will take it from there. Let's get you on the path that you need to be on. Let's fix what's wrong with you. Let's help you see clearly and see your worth and see who you are at the end of the day. For those of you that want to get a glimpse of me, to take a good look at me, to figure out whether or not I am the person for you, feel free to hit up my social media outlets. Again, that's at Psychic Chris M, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. For those of you wanting to provide ideas for the show, wanting to talk more about One Foot In and One Foot Out, or just wanting to know more psychic shit, email me, askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com. Until next time, you guys, this is Chris Medina with my partner in crime, Jay, saying we are out.
Bye.